Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. This is Brian here with Kathleen and Paul. And for the first time on our The Boys coverage, Dave.
That's the second time, actually. I was here all of season two, baby.
Season two.
First time on our season three coverage, I should say. But yes. If you're here, you probably already know we are going to be covering episode six of the Amazon series, The Boys. And episode six is called Herogasm.
As it should be.
As it had to be.
Yeah. And
I mean, they could have given us Homelander versus Soldier Boy. They could have given us Herogasm. They could have been two completely separate episodes, but they mushed it all together and made something beautiful, in my opinion.
Pure chaos.
This episode was wonderful. It really was.
What a perfect time to rejoin the boys squad, because this episode, we've been saying it all off pod, and I'm going to reiterate it here because we're going to say it multiple times, but this episode solidifies it as one of, if not the best show, in my opinion. And it's events like these that have just built up for so many episodes, so many seasons, and we finally get a clash. Like, we've been waiting for someone to take on Homelander since season one, and we finally get it here in season three, and it lived up to everything I could have asked for and more. I will say really quickly as well, with Peaky Blinders series finale coming out or just ending, and how great that was. Think about it, like The Witcher and The Last Kingdom, honestly, weren't that long ago. Those were only like 4 months ago. This year has been an incredible year for television, and I just love being a part of every second of it, especially being on this podcast with you guys.
Davey Solomons, we are so happy to have you here. That is his name on the Peaky Blinders episodes that I've been a fan of, not a part of, but we're happy to have you here, Dave.
I'm the D train here on this podcast. I'm the D train.
Wow. He runs really, really, really slow. Dude, this episode, unbelievable. It was without a doubt my favorite episode so far of the series. And I think what Dave was saying solidifies it. I think it might be my favorite show of all time. I've been telling everybody it. Like, I think it's up there. So if I keep talking about it, it must be true. It's so good. The suspense buildup and then the follow through with the amazing action was incredible. I cannot wait to finish this series. I've said it every episode.
The drama is so juicy, too.
Yeah. This episode has, like, all the good boy stuff. It's got insane gore. It's got the best fight scene fucking ever. It's got, like, the emotional beats of Kimiko, Frenchie, Starlight, and Huey. Oh. And then, did I say gore already? With him getting absolutely ripped up on the pavement? I fucking loved that. I'm ready to rock.
Even the first opening scene, the cameos, getting all these famous cameos doing like satirical, feel good videos. It's great.
Well, that's two in a row. Last episode, they did the Pepsi can Kendall Jenner diss, basically. And now they're doing the Imagine, which, of course, when COVID hit, all these celebrities did this Imagine video on YouTube, which is, everyone was like, thanks, guys. Like, you cured COVID. You cured us all.
Incredibly tone deaf. Yeah.
Let's dive in.
Just dive in. Yeah.
Yeah. Right,
let's dive on in.
Frenchie, Kimiko, and then the rest.
All right, cool. Well, let's rip Frenchie and Kimiko then. The first time we see that. Well, I guess we see Kimiko first, and it's just her sad in the hospital, like we expected her to. She's blaming herself. Is he overthinking the kiss? She's like typing out texts to him. And then she picks up a popsicle. She's just like longingly looking out the window. And then she gets nabbed by one of little Nina's goons. Mm.
She goes, let's watch Singing in the Rain next. And I was like, dude, you're breaking my heart, Kimiko.
I was really glad that this got resolved. Well, not resolved, because you know little Nina ain't done. But enough that Kimiko wasn't like, apart from Frenchie for a few episodes and wondering where he went or whatever, that would have just broke my heart. I'd much rather them all be chained up and in peril, like danger. No, I'm kidding. But I'm just glad that Kimiko's heart wasn't broken for much longer than it needed to be.
This scene and the pain I feel for Kimiko each episode this season is unbelievable. She's been through it, man. She has honestly been through it with her brother and now all of this her unknowingly getting pulled into Frenchie's old like gang ways kind of stuff. And I feel for her, man. I really hated to see her in this position. And like you said, Kathleen, I was really happy that at least they weren't apart for too long. But even now with her realizing that, not really realizing because it's not true, obviously, but with her thinking that she's a monster still without her powers, it's so depressing because we all know Frenchie obviously doesn't see it that way. And if you, with everything we had just heard in that scene, you know,
it's, yeah,
he's one to understand, if anything.
Yeah. Like when you look at what they've both done, like Jesus Christ, they've both done horrible things, but the other person always sees the opposite as like a great individual that they want to surround themselves with. So that's why it's so heartbreaking when we get Kimiko just waking up next to Cherie in this freaking giant warehouse and then naked Frenchie. Of course they have to be naked just because he has to be like insanely vulnerable. And then he does the Breaking Bad bicycle lock to the steel beam. And little Nina, again, only a few lines, kills it, murders it with her lines, saying like, oh, he's got a great body, doesn't he? Like, do you want to know all these scars?
Oh my God, the scars. So the one like going down his back, he got shot 3 times. She was doing a job against little Nina's cousin or something. And she referred to him as her attack dog, just like 3 bullets to the back. Couldn't even stop my attack dog. And then the one on the knee, when he was a kid, he broke a glass and his dad made him like kneel on it for hours on end, even when he went to the bar to just get himself drunk. Like, Frenchie just stayed on the glass on his knees. And Nina, like, the line that hit me was, don't feel bad, he loves to be told what to do and he loves to be punished when he's bad. And that's kind of what they've been hammering home, is that he's always kind of just been the dog who's been sent to do shit for people like Butcher, like Nina, like his dad.
Yeah, I mean, he, like Lil Nina said, he's killed a lot of innocent people just because they were there next to the target. And like, he says he didn't like it, you know, the whole line, oh Nina, it's like acid to my heart. I had to say, just because I love that line so much.
Yeah.
He did it anyway, even if you said he hated it. So he's watching this and he has a, I guess I'll wait to it, but he has a line later that's it just explains it and it's so good. But is this just Kimiko, like, the best in the world? Even without powers, Kimiko still saves the day. Like, she's angry enough. So what does she do? She gets the end of the joke from the popsicle stick. The popsicle stick coming in clutch from earlier.
It's easy to forget that Kimiko is still like a trained assassin. So pretty pretty capable, even if you strip her of her suit powers. Did any of you catch the popsicle stick joke?
Why did Classic. The photo go to jail?
Mm-hmm.
Because it like, took it. A shot or something like that?
Because it got framed, guys. You see the question in the first scene, and then when she's like uncuffing herself, you see.
I was going to ask you if it was going to come back into play, because I didn't realize that even was the popsicle stick. I was actually going to ask you what it was. So I'm done.
And I think it's kind of relevant because Nina is framing Frenchie for the wrongdoings of Butcher.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Brave Maeve popsicle. So we all love those Brave Maeve popsicles. Multicolored.
Of course it was.
Show your true colors popsicle.
I will say, though, I love that we're getting more in-depth backstory to our boys this season, with Frenchie now getting explained the scars and MM really going in deep with his Soldier Boy roots and everything. So this is stuff we've been asking for since season one, and we're finally kind of getting 2 for 1 in this season. I'm here for every second of it. Although, did little Nina, so she got out of there. What happened to Cherie?
So Cherie didn't get out of her cuffs, but got out of her chair and kind of just like
she knocked
it, flailed her body to get between Nina and the gun. So I feel like Nina probably still has Cherie as a hostage.
No, she's on the couch in the background in the last scene.
So I guess she just like because she did get knocked out from the barrel. She did get thrown into a barrel, right?
Yeah,
right.
Literally, okay. One of the guards grabbed her and shoved her head first, got knocked out.
Okay,
and then I guess little Nina just ran away, because as we get this whole stabbing scene, which is great, you know, Kimiko, well, it's not great. First of all, I take that back. Kimiko getting hit in the wound over and over again.
Oh my god,
it was like 9 times or something like that.
Cringe much in shows, but I find myself doing it twice an episode with the boys. I legitimately can't fully watch. Like I'm doing this, but like still with the blinders, I still can see a little bit. Every episode I'm doing that multiple times. And this was definitely one of those moments.
She's bleeding everywhere. She's getting destroyed in the old wound. She grabs an old like shiv over here, some splintered wood, stabs the one guy right in his thigh that's attacking her, and he freaks out. She's like bloody and almost dead, and he gets one shot, and it looked like she hit an artery because that shit was bleeding, but he was freaking out. And that was his mistake, because as soon as she got on top and started stabbing, he was what, like 20 shots deep in the chest like 2 seconds. She was angry.
And Kimiko was obviously, that was the similar to how she looked when her and her brother used to run shit for, I forget when, what organization that was. Yeah, Rising Sun. Yeah. And
ripping faces off.
When we first see her, she's literally covered in blood like she is there. So it's a direct correlation and callback to that scene for sure.
And just to segue off of that, that'll take us nicely into the final scene of Frenchie and Kimiko, where they're just getting patched up in the aftermath of the wreckage. And apparently Sherry is in the couch. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, this is back in the Flatiron building. They made it all the way back to their safe house.
Yeah, nice. But yeah, Kimiko essentially just signs the words, "It's always been me, even without the V. I am still that monster that I was back in the Rising Star or whatever." And Frenchie is there to reassure her. And it's just like, hey, I guess we've both been running from our past, but nobody can really run that fast.
And that's the line, B-Times, that I was talking about earlier. I mean, that just sums up the whole thing. They both did insanely horrible things, and they're not escaping it. Kimiko's not escaping the animal she had to be to survive in the beginning, and Frenchie can't freaking escape his horrible deeds in the past.
Who do you think Frenchie would have chose? If he had
Kimiko. Because Sherry,
I thought Sherry was going to die in this scene, to be honest. She was totally dispensable in that moment. And when they were pointing the guns back and forth, I was like, she's dead. But they did both. But Nina's definitely, we think she's coming back the end of this season?
Like
next episode or next season?
We think she's going to be like a bad person in next season, like one of the big bads in next season. So she's got to be like at the end of this one, has to be like tee it up, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but I agree, Dave. I thought Sheree was, I thought when Sheree was like speaking in French, I thought she was telling him like, choose me, kill me. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that's what you, I mean, who knows? Cause I don't speak French.
I think she was, because especially she was the reason she immediately said, I'm sorry, Kimiko, when they said, like when Kimiko came to next to her. Yeah. And I think that was just her definitely owning up to them being put into the situation by accident, essentially.
She's the one that, she is the one that stole Nina's drugs and used Nina's drugs in the first place.
The only thing
Frenchie
did was supply a passport, didn't ask questions, nothing, didn't know anything. And now Kimiko, unfortunately, who didn't know anything about little Nina and care for any of this, getting dragged into it. So even more just pain for our boys and girls.
Well, I, for one, am very glad that all three of them made it out safely. But if we're being honest here, this is like the D plot of the episode, because and it's unbelievable in an episode where Kimiko and Frenchie go through that. Usually that would be the A plot, but in this particular episode, not even remotely close. So why don't we circle back to the beginning here? Mm-hmm. And the first scene.
Are you singing Imagine?
Singing Imagine, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had the cameos, like we said before. If anybody of you guys watched New Girl, the one actor who plays Bear Claw, he's in it. Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher. And then, you know, we got a few more, and then Black Noir at the end, holding the card. That was nice.
I love that we had some diabolical actors in there. Aisha Tyler, I think that's her name. But yeah, I was like pumped that they were probably Seth Rogen or whoever was probably just like calling them up being like, we need you. Get on over here. And and it's such easy, like that's such an easy gig to be like, all right, video tape yourself and then shoot it to Seth and he'll throw it in the
Why
bucket.
Wouldn't you, who needs
Best
money
episode
to do
of
that?
The Boys?
Yeah, who needs money to do that? Just do that for free. Like Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis. I'm sure they were just doing their boy Seth Rogen a favor on this. You know, he has so many connects. You could just hit up anyone in his contacts and be like, yo, do you mind just making a 3 second cameo for me?
Black Noir, just throwing the cue cards.
Yeah.
Stupid.
So dumb.
Love it.
So dumb.
So I don't even know why they were watching the Imagine video, but after the Imagine video, it cuts to the Deep is running crime analytics, showing them surveillance footage, them being Noir Homelander and Ashley, surveillance footage of Crimson Countess's chimp country. And they're looking for Soldier Boy. And this is a funny scene because Deep tries to blame Ashley for 90% of crime analytics being gone. And she's like, are you kidding me, dude? And Homelander's just getting impatient the whole time, but they do find Soldier Boy and Homelander has his little breakdown.
I want to give myself props because I'm the one who said that Homelander didn't know that it was Soldier Boy. Because last episode, we had a whole back and forth on whether or not he knew it was Soldier Boy that blew up Midtown. And I think I was the only one who said, I think he didn't know. Because your argument was that if Stan Edgar knew, then Homelander knew. But anyway, props to me. But I love that Ashley's jacket, her blazer, was like Homelander's cape. It was so fucking stupid. I love it. I just like they exactly match. I was like, this girl is so brainwashed. It's out of control. It's like one of those like little stupid things that's like it doesn't really play a part. But I love that Ashley is so fucking brainwashed.
Homelander actually being afraid is like slightly terrifying because like it's so unnatural to see him like this, and he just plays it so well. Antony Starr plays it so well. Again, we said it every episode, the facial acting, the little ticks, insane. But I love the jokes too that are going back and forth. They're like, oh, is this somebody cosplaying? Like, is it CGI? And actually, like, Deep, you don't even know what CGI stands for. And he goes, it stands for blow me. The Deep and Ashley going back and forth is great because even at the end, when Homelander goes, all right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go kill him and you guys delete everything. If the Deep fucks up deleting everything, Ashley, it's your head. So get it right. It's perfect that she's just stuck next to him.
They are both battling for Homelander's penis so hard.
Absolutely.
They both are just, yeah, they're doing anything they can to make themselves look good. Absolutely.
God, I would literally never bang Homelander. Like, zero chance, not even for the story. No. Yeah. Antony Starr, yeah, sure. But Homelander, man, he is just like
instant kill.
He's Joffrey. He's literally like foul and disgusting. I know Joffrey was a child, so that brings up a million other reasons why I wouldn't, but still. Anyway,
it's next the personality. It's the personality.
Yeah, the next scene is just Noir and Homelander out in the hallway right after that. And Homelander keeps freaking out, like you were saying, B-Thoms. He's having this freak out and saying, like, oh, do you know why you would do this? Like, you were in payback. What's going on? And Black Noir obviously says nothing. But we get Homelander going, you know, I'm just really happy that you're here. Like, you've always been around. I can always count on you. And definitely comes into play because as soon as Homelander leaves, what does Black Noir do but go in the elevator and just rip out the chip? The only reason we knew it with this chip is it looked exactly like the one that was in Starlight's from Starlight. Season 2.
Yeah.
And we kind of got a reference to it from like A-Train here and there. So later in this episode. So it worked out. I didn't need to explain it, but it was terrifying to watch. Just here to you. Do you want it?
I was so surprised that he bailed. Like, are we still all under the assumption that he's fleeing in like because he's afraid, or are we under the assumption that there's something else that he?
I
might
think
have
he's
a plan?
Afraid.
Afraid. Soldier Boy's crossing off the names of payback.
Absolutely.
Okay. But I thought it was if Noir knew he had Homelander in his corner, why would he run? Because when we see the fight play out, it seems like Homelander greater than Soldier Boy. No,
that's why. I mean, obviously, my number one assumption was he was afraid, but I am also not completely ixnaying the idea of him having a plan. Like, maybe he foresaw this happening one day and he has something that he's just planning for. I don't know. Yeah. I can't elaborate much more than that.
He has to be going somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I initially took it when he started freaking out and going AWOL. I thought he was going to kill Soldier Boy because later on we get the line from the TNT twins, you know, it was all Noir, like it was all him. I figured he hated Soldier Boy, and if he organized that, then he would go back to like finish the job.
Maybe he's going back to Russia. because he at least had, if that's where he sold off Soldier Boy to, then maybe he could have some sort of allies to help defend him from Soldier Boy, since they know him the best, obviously, with all the tests. This is just me, again, tinfoil hat, just throwing out ideas, but
he might be going to Edgar, because I remember in the Mallory flashback when Edgar was making his escape, when shit hit the fan,
he could be going to Edgar too. Yeah.
Noir was in his like personal escort, like right on his hip, trying to get him out of there.
I don't hate that idea, honestly, because Edgar was a huge part of it. Edgar was definitely had an in on the Russians taking.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm starting to think that. Yeah. Well, he had to. He's Edgar. But at the time, he wasn't Edgar yet.
Yeah.
He didn't have that clout. He was still Stanford.
He was still weaseling his way around.
Yeah.
That's a good theory, B-Toms. I like that idea. If it's not, if it's anything more than afraid, then I think it's a plan. And if he has a plan, then I think Edgar is someone on his list of people that he wants to either communicate to or at least make reason with, I guess.
Communicate to.
Yes. I want to talk more to the like Soldier Boy Homelander stuff, but we get like their powers and who's stronger, but we'll get there one during the fight. I'm excited we'll to talk there. About that.
Yeah. So the next scene we get, speaking of Soldier Boy, is, well, we see Soldier Boy and he's just chilling at the hideout with a different hideout with Huey and Butcher, and they kind of just talk out the other half of the Homelander deal. Butcher starts reminding him, hey, you know, we served you up Crimson Countess on a silver platter and you're going to need help finding payback. Like, we'll help you do it because you don't even know how to use the internet, but you just have to add Homelander to your list. And to preface that part of the scene, he had Huey and Butcher run errands for him and they bring him like a bottle of whiskey. He immediately starts like crushing up Benny's, which is just amphetamines from back in the day. And he's like, that's how we won D-Day. We were all wired to the gills. He's like,
he's not wrong though.
They're starting to flesh out this dickbag Soldier Boy character, but he's kind of like American gritty asshole Soldier Boy.
It's great. He walks in with all this food. He chucks everything down. There's a million different things, but he's freaking out. Yeah. He's like, yo, where's the something teriyaki oriental sauce? And he was like, oh, they don't make that anymore. He's like, why the hell not? Oh, God, for, you know, a handful of reasons. And he's like, well, all right, well, give me the Bennies then. And yeah, I'm sure, like you said, they were all shot up on D-Day on benzos or whatever. I freaking believe it. I mean, yeah, they would shoot the kamikazes up with the heroin and just like, hey,
they did use amphetamines. I kind of looked it up because I was interested. They used amphetamines to kind of like fight fatigue when they were just like out at war. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't like meth. So anyway, to sweeten the deal with Homelander, Butcher's like, hey, they're saying he's the new you. And he's like, hey, buddy, no one's the new me. I'm one of a kind. So Soldier Boy, of course, with his ego, was pretty quick to agree to add Homelander to his list.
Cool touch. Huey tries to pick up the shield. Don't touch the fucking shield. And it's like insanely heavy. So that's cool to know.
Didn't surprise me one bit that Huey was not going to be able to lift that up.
So in that scene, we get to see what Huey and Butcher have been up to. This next scene, we get to see what MM and Starlight are going to do next, because they're kind of all on their own. The rest of the boys are MIA. Queen Maeve is MIA. Supersonic is dead. And MM wants to confront Soldier Boy, guns ablazing, go scorched earth. And she's like, yo, listen, we have to be the ones to keep our heads on. Huey and Butcher are running around like maniacs. We're the only one of the boys left. Kimiko's in the hospital. She has no powers. Like, we're kind of screwed. We got to stick together.
Yep.
Another great part of this scene is MM already has the answer to what they need to do next. He's like, dude, obviously he's checking people off his list. So now we got to go to the TNT twins who live in Vermont now, and starts saying, you know, does Butcher have that information? MM, he's like, no, but, you know, he'll get it. Like, MM knows Butcher is good enough to find information that easy, that simple enough. So he's like, all right, we need to beat them there. But Starlight gets called off to do something. She has to go to the tower. She has to go in the TV show real quick. But then afterwards, they're going to take off to fuck the TNT twins.
I like that right before she leaves, she knows she has to leave and make an appearance at Vought, but she looks at MM and is just like, do I need to worry about you? Are you going to do something? And MM doesn't say anything, but there's an acknowledgement there.
A train to Africa? How great is this? How fucking funny. The commercial, the intro is perfect. Him slowly rotating over, going back to his roots. And then Ashley's just popping pills. Like, holy shit, this is horrible.
So we got the suit rebrand. We got the TV show. Are we going to get the video game based on the slave trade?
No way. They make that come true.
Hope not. That would be absolutely outlandish.
You know, I bet you they do. I bet you A-Train is just playing it in the background, like playing the beta test in a later scene.
No, because he's dead.
That
just
is
like I called it.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
I think I don't know. I mean, we'll get to it, but I think that would have been it was a pretty epic death, and I think he finally apologized to Huey. It's pretty good, but
we're gonna talk that out when we get to that scene. So A-Train walks in and interrupts Ashley watching this A-Train to Africa promotional video, and he's like, "Yo, what the hell is Vought doing about Blue Hawk? Something needs to be done. I saw it," and he's getting up in her face, and she's pulling the hair again, and she's trying to keep him at arm's length and do the robotic Vought answers, but then she breaks, rips out a chunk of her hair, and she just tells A-Train off. He's like, really? Now that someone close to you has been a victim of collateral damage, now you care? What about Robin? What about all these people that you have killed and not cared about? And now that it's convenient for you to care, you care? I don't want to hear it. F off. Yeah, I just said that out loud. I love Ashley. She's got balls.
Okay, so this was fucking incredible and needs to be said and should be said to literally every single soup. But the situation that A-Train's in, like, that the Blue Hawk stuff sucked so bad, and it was such a terrible, like, obviously racist, like, awful event that happened. And I hate that they're kind of being like go fuck yourself, we don't care type deal.
He got punished more than Vought ever could punish him.
I mean, I get that's like kicking him while he's down, but Ashley had said it perfectly. Like you want justice. Like, you're asking for justice. What about the three people you murdered? Exactly what you said. You know, plus Popclaw, which you also killed, your girlfriend. Like, yeah, I know about that. Like, it's I completely understand why Ashley is snapping and saying, like, dude, you should have read the room earlier. Like, I don't give a fuck right now. And saying that and saying, yeah, I said that out loud was incredible.
If you have all those receipts on A-Train, you don't have to take any shit from A-Train. And she had those receipts.
You know what I'm saying, though, right? Like, everyone knows I hate A-Train. He's like my least favorite character. Yeah. I even like Deep more than A-Train, but like, then like I feel for him in this. It's the only thing that can make me feel for him in this moment, because that scene last episode was so sad that I'm not really sad for A-Train in that situation. I'm sad for everybody else that was in that room, but absolutely. I mean, it's go fuck yourself is perfection. I love
because
it. It's
because he was kind of very small amount on the redemption train. He was almost redeeming himself in the smallest amount. And that's probably why you felt that pity. But then once I agree with you, I kind of felt pity for him too. And then Ashley did bring up those reminders. I was like, okay, that's totally warranted.
I'm not explaining it right. It's less about A-Train and it's more like I want revenge for the other people that were in that room. The absolutely. Other people
you
that
want
got Vought
to stand up to racism, and it's hard to see Ashley, i.e. Vought, be turn a blind eye to racism.
Fucking
the point
annoying.
Of this is
I thought we got rid of the Nazis.
Vought
rejects
the
all
point
form of
is Vought will not ever actually stand up to any just cause
correct.
Because they don't need to. It's not convenient or profitable for them. That's what this is. And A-Train's cause, however just, is no different than the hundred of other causes that they chose to ignore.
Yes, 100%. We're all on the same page. Thank you.
Me and Ashley have a love-hate relationship. Like, she definitely brings a lot to the table and can be very funny. But there's also points where I'm like, wow, this girl is such a bitch. And the inconsistency in her character makes her consistent. And I do, at the end of the day, love her as a character. I think she just fits the mold of this show perfectly.
During this scene when she ripped out that big chunk of hair, I just had this image that she's going to fall deeper into madness being Homelander's right-hand person. And then a season or two from now, she's going to be completely bald, just full-on villain, being like just
Lex Luthor.
Homelander's CEO lapdog to handle all his business affairs. And she's going to be just this crazy character. I would love that for her. But we got more scenes to get through, so let's get to them. This is where we have the deep going up to Homelander and showing him that they found Noir's tracking chip, and Homelander kind of has a breakdown. He's like, wait, what? Noir's running? I love that Homelander puts some respect on Noir's power and name. He's like, whoa, if Noir's running, I might have something to worry about. But also, he thought that Noir was his genuine friend, and Noir's kind of leaving him in the dark, and Cassandra's there.
He wouldn't do that to me. But Homelander going like, Noir wouldn't leave. Like, he wouldn't cut his tracker chip out. Like, he wouldn't do that to me. He was doing what Stormfront Suicide in episode 1 or 2 did to him. He's just feeling more and more abandoned. And Deep and Cassandra just again killing it. Tell him what we found out, and he tells him the whole plan. Oh, he's going for the rest payback. That means we're going to TNT and after TNT in Vermont. And Homelander's like, sure, like, you go get him. I don't give a fuck. Once you get there, just tell me and I'll come take care of it. And he's like, got it. What do I tell the twins? I don't give a fuck. And he's like, got it. And he's so ready just for any little mission. And Cassandra's like his number one hype man in the background. Like, I'm so proud of you. Cassandra sucks. I didn't feel like you needed to jump in there. You know, I feel like I had it.
God, they both are just terrible people. They're so annoying.
Well,
but
the end of this scene, we actually see the Deep roll his eyes about Cassandra. Like, he walks away after like the whole, it's me and you. And then he like walks away and like rolls his eyes when she can't see. So he might be trying to give Cassandra the boot soon.
I am waiting. Do we think Homelander by the end is going to be on his, do you think he's going to be loved, or is he going to go scorched earth by like when they fully have the final showdown with him? I'm so waiting for the moment for him to just snap and be like, okay, it's time to just go scorched earth, because he is day by day. He's already lost it a few times, but things are just getting worse and worse for him. And I'm just waiting for the moment for him to just be like, fuck all of this. I'm the best. Let me just kill everyone.
Yeah, I think we're going to be able to have a real good discussion in like the last scene where he just looks at the mirror. But we have this next scene where he initially looks at the mirror and kind of has, it's a very similar scene to the original Spider-Man trilogy with Green Goblin looking at himself in the mirror, and Homelander. I just have in my notes, good Homelander, bad Homelander. And it's good Homelander is in actual Homelander's body, questioning bad Homelander in the mirror, and he's just projecting all his insecurities. What if I really can't handle Soldier Boy? All I really want in this world is for people to love me. That's kind of my biggest weakness. And all the time, bad Homelander in the mirror is kind of just pushing the right buttons, you know? What do you care what a bunch of mud people think about you? He also is insecure about being the new CEO of VOD. And he's like, what do they care? What do you care what a bunch of mud people think? I want to hear you say what this is really about.
He was also saying how he's protected the weaker version of Homelander for his entire life. So he's obviously a safety net for Homelander.
Yeah, he said, you know, when we were in kids alone in the bad room, I got us through it, didn't I? Mm-hmm. So now we're like, okay, is this a split personality decision, or is this just like an inner monologue that he's having in his head?
I think
not necessarily like two personalities that one takes over, one doesn't.
I think this is the perfect time for him to finally have this dual personality discussion with himself, with how he's just been breaking down, and especially after his conversation with Butcher earlier on the season, because it did happen, obviously. It wasn't all in Butcher's head. But anyway, I think it's really cool finally getting the two personalities to him, because He's been very season one. He was the most confident human being. He didn't have anything to worry about. Season two, he's breaking down a little bit more. In season three, here we finally have the collapse of everything. Him losing the love of his life. The seven is just breaking apart all because of Soldier Boy, who is now coming for the throne. It's just a perfect time to bring this split personality decision in. And I love the conversation and seeing how Anthony Starr could act in both situations. And it was just amazing.
Yahtzee. That was a pretty good line. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. And kind of the lasting impression I got is that bad Homelander's goal is to rip out that last shred of humanity that he has left. And that's the reason he is still weak in any capacity. It's just that last shred of humanity that he has to let go of, which why in the last scene, I'm wondering which Homelander we are left with when he doesn't see anybody in the mirror anymore. Is it just bad Homelander left or is it just good Homelander left? True. This might have been the switch. Next episode might be Scorched Earth.
It's got to be bad. There's no way good one.
We said Scorched Earth five times this podcast, and it's all because Butcher has that Billy. Insane line at the end.
I think Tropic Thunder. That was Scorcher, right? Scorcher 1-6.
Oh, the fucking movies.
Movies, yeah.
Then we get the Deep arriving, right? Deep arriving to TNT, and TNT is like, dude, that's sick. I'm like, the king of the ocean, you're here? Like, that's awesome. Sister's like, why don't you lick his balls? And he's like, oh, sorry, my sister's a bitch. And that is just the beginning of that relationship.
They're just horrible and trashy.
Tommy and Teresa
clearly says, out of shape.
He says Deep got the bad end of the deal in the whole Starlight situation.
Like, he really got railroaded there, man.
And even Deep kind of rolls his eyes at that. He's like, okay, this guy sucks, but let's continue.
I thought he was agreeing with them because he was like, I know, right? Dude, fucking
scumbags everywhere, scumbags.
Yeah.
Anyway, he walks in and even he recognizes that this is indeed hero gas.
Incredible.
So good. And his eyes light up.
He is the first to arrive there in the episode. Pretty much the whole first half of this episode is everybody getting to Herogasm, and then it's Herogasm.
But yeah, we get MM and Starlight. They're in the car going to Vermont, and this is the whole MM full backstory. You know, it's why he has the tick, why the tick is coming back, because even Starlight's like, I know you're kind of like you had a little bit of OCD, but this seems like it's way worse than it was. We get the full backstory. MM, when he was a kid, got his grandfather up to look at Soldier Boy, who was stopping a Grand Theft Auto in the street. And of course, Soldier Boy picks up the car, throws it through the building. 1 second he was there, the next second he was not. And now MM feels that it was his fault. And if he doesn't do the right routine, if he doesn't check the burners 3 times a night, then Soldier Boy is going to come back and kill the rest of his family. So it was the full Harlem family in Harlem getting like collateral damage backstory. And I can't imagine being MM right now.
I never thought his tick would have such an in-depth purpose, to be honest. I just thought that was always kind of there. I didn't expect it to be so, again, I'm saying this again, but this was so deep. I just never, I was so blown away with the backstory, and I really felt for MM. He delivered it perfectly. The tear rolling down his face. It was such great acting by him. Just incredible scene at such a terrible cost.
Did we know it was a collateral damage situation? Were we aware of that? Because I was actually shocked by it because I thought it was going to be like a targeted attack against them. Like,
to jump back, Kathleen, you said, did we know it was collateral damage? And I think it was episode 1 or 2 this season. He pulls out the first piece of newspaper and it's like Soldier Boy stops a car thief, a Harlem family like killed in the background.
Got it.
In like the small letters. So that was like the first one that we saw. But yeah, pretty much every single one of the boys is on the boys because of somebody they loved being collateral damage. Obviously. Yeah. It's absolutely nuts.
Soups are bad, most of them. Anyway. Yeah.
They gave us the boys, though.
Yeah.
If the boys didn't all have revenge motives from collateral damage, they wouldn't be the boys.
That's so true. We love the boys.
Thank you, Supes.
Thank you, Supes.
So then we get MM and Starlight actually arriving, right?
I actually don't think we ever did the Homelander Starlight Newman interview.
Where are my notes, dude?
Yeah, my notes are all over the place. It's in a little bit. It's in a little bit because we got to talk about how Bill Cosby is America's dad.
I'm so sorry.
We skipped two scenes there. One was previous MM Starlight stuff, but it's okay to do it out of order because they're not at Herogasm yet, but we're going to back all the way up to a Soldier Boy and Huey scene. It's another one where they're at their temporary hideout and Huey gets a moment alone with Soldier Boy, who is watching one of his old Cold War era American propaganda videos, which is really outdated and funny because it was the Russians torturing Soldier Boy, who's like, I will never betray our Afghani brothers, which was apparently a thing in the 80s, which I did not know personally, but they used to be our allies and we kind of screwed that up, it would seem. However,
wonder who did that.
Yeah, right. But Soldier Boy kind of just opens up about how different life is now. A commercial for diapers comes on the television and it's targeted at dads and men. And he's like, do men actually walk around like that nowadays? Back in my day, blah, 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 blah. And then he kind of gets to the fact that he actually fought for this country and he put in all this work and he was at Eagle's Nest, for Christ's sake, which is where they assassinated Hitler in the end. That never happened. He committed suicide. It was Hitler's hideout. We all know what the Eagle's Nest is. Point being, he got forgot about in Russia for all of his good deeds. Is Soldier Boy a redeemable character at all?
No.
Probably not.
No, absolutely not.
So
nah,
probably not. Probably
when you not. Put him versus Homelander, I think they're trying to paint it that Soldier Boy has a little bit more of his humanity left than Homelander does. Do you believe that to be true?
Well, yes. Definitely. I'm going to say yes automatically.
Yeah, I agree.
Would you feel safer with, if only one could survive, would you feel safer it being Soldier Boy than Homelander?
Soldier Boy, absolutely. Soldier Boy.
Soldier Boy can't control his stuff. I mean, not that Homelander is any better. Absolutely Soldier Boy, but Soldier Boy is such a loose cannon right now, too. Every time he hears a little bit of Russian, he's fucking blasting the town into pieces.
That is also true. If you could just send him away to an isolated location, great, but he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would just be willing to be put somewhere he doesn't want to be. Even with those factors, I still think I'd rather have Soldier Boy in charge.
Me too. Well, not in charge, but
not in charge.
Alive.
But yeah, alive. If two of them fought.
I mean, we get Huey the scene, he's holding the radiation meter. And whenever Soldier Boy gets worked up, you know, that's when it starts beeping. So, you know, you can't get him too upset or too riled up because then he might actually explode. That was a nice little foreshadowing.
The humanity twist to it is very interesting, though. Absolutely. And I like the parallels you made to Homelander as well, B-Times, because they should be made, especially if they're the two strongest characters in the world right now. Then I like making these comparisons for sure.
A line that we can't not say is when the diaper ad comes on the TV. Soldier Boy says Bill Cosby is America's dad and he wouldn't be caught dead in any of that gear. He made some strong drinks. And Huey's just like, so many things, but there's no time.
There's no point on catching him up on that.
No point, no time.
So good.
It's building comedy when they have situations like that. Someone is in a coma for 10 years, 20 years, and you just like throw in those little zinger lines that are just like chef's kiss.
Perfect. And the conclusion of this conversation is Huey asking him, hey, what happened in Midtown? And he says, I think it was genuine. I didn't mean to hurt those people. I blacked out for 10 minutes and the damage was done when I came to. And that's where I think the difference is. Whenever I've seen Soldier Boy, I didn't think that when he's in a position to make decisions, he would intentionally hurt civilians.
Yeah. So
Americans, at least.
The difference between Soldier Boy and Homelander is that Soldier Boy was a bad guy in a way that the guy at the bar down the street is a bad guy.
He,
like he's
he was
born
a frat. He was a frat
time,
guy.
He was born at a time where like racism was a thing, homophobia was a thing, women weren't really anything. You know what I mean? It's like he just is acting like honestly, like a man, like the worst kind of man from that time. And he has all that power. And but he's not a bad guy like Homelander's a bad guy. You know what I mean? So I think that that's the biggest difference here. The biggest issue, though, is that Soldier Boy is blacking out and he's not even realizing he's doing it. Like when he wakes up later in the episode, he's like, what the fuck happened here?
At least, yeah.
Brother, you did that.
At least we see regret with Soldier Boy. When Homelander was on the plane with Maeve, no remorse for human life, with the chick on the roof who was going to commit suicide and edging her on to kill herself, there was just absolutely no remorse. And Soldier Boy, I think, would rather live a party lifestyle than a soldier lifestyle, but will do anything necessary to, in order to get his jobs done.
Facts. And I guess Huey and Soldier Boy's conversation is cut short by Butcher, who walks in, says, all right, boys, time to suit up. Him and Huey shoot up the V. Soldier Boy puts on his suit. And I believe the next time we see them is at Herogasm. So we are going to move on to the interview with Homelander, Starlight, and surprise guest Newman on VNN today. And I'm just thinking to myself, poor Starlight. Homelander to her left, Newman on the right, the two least comfortable people in the entire world for her to be sitting next to. She has to do a surprise interview with. But then I'm thinking this poor interviewer because of what Homelander does to her. But this scene was another great one.
Homelander grabbing Starlight's hand. He's feeling abandoned now that Noir's gone. He's like, I missed you. I'm so glad you're here. Like, I'm so happy to have you by my side. That's scary. That is like the scariest shit because now he can't get that attached to Starlight because he will freak out.
It's so funny watching him just cling to her because she obviously is the least trusted person to him in the Seven. And so he must be feeling desperate, Paul, for him to want to cling on to her in that
all moment. He's got.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to have Newman back. We've been missing her for maybe two whole episodes. I'm pumped because she is a big player in this. And you can't forget that, like, Homelander and Soldier Boy are huge threats. But Newman is a sneaky huge threat. She's not hidden anymore. And she knows a lot more than we think she knows. But, like, which makes her a gigantic threat. And I love her.
She's also a politician, like that is her career. So she has the she has the mind of Edgar and the power to kill Homelander. So who could possibly be stronger than that?
I'm hoping she was AFK for two episodes because her daughter's V went horribly wrong. And now she's like El Agua from the Diabolical episode where she literally just turns into a pile of water.
oh my gosh. Yeah.
I forgot that was the last time we saw her. That's damn. Brutal.
So I'm hyped to see that conclusion, but the scene afterwards, like poor Starlight, we were just saying that. Poor Starlight even more when Newman's like, "Hey, like, let's catch up. Do you want to get a drink? Like, come on, you got some time."
Yeah. Well, Homelander blows up at the interviewer for asking, "What should we tell the Americans who are at home scared?" And he's like, "I just told them they were safe. How dare you ask that question and contradict me?" And he walks off, calls her a hack. Ashley comes in and defends the shit out of Homelander. Next interview she's going to be given is out of her butthole, I believe. But yes, terrifying. The smile that Newman gives Starlight when she asks, just like, 10 minutes won't kill you. Perfect.
I didn't actually, you said you felt bad for the interviewer. I didn't feel bad at all because I think she was actually trying to make an attempt at putting down Homelander's thoughts and trying taking a shot at him. So I think
telling the truth.
Yeah, but by telling the truth. And I think that's why he blew up. So I didn't really feel that bad for her. But I guess I'll wait for this question for the next scene.
So Newman plays Starlight like a fucking fiddle. I mean, I was believing Newman. First of all, I was believing her this whole time. If I was Starlight, I would have fell for that shit. I've been like, you're right. We're teaming up, bitch. I'm in. And I love 100%. It. She's so easily. I thought he was avoiding me because he was scared I was going to pop his head. And I was like, oh.
I was like, no fucking way. All right. This is my question. I'm just going to ask him now. Where do we think Newman got that information from?
That's a good question.
That has to be
important.
Like, we need to know who did it.
She must have been suspicious of Huey maybe she got the confirmation when her coworker saw her last episode and filled her in. Hey, Huey's arm is not broken. I saw him. Yeah, and I she put two and two together. And I just took a shot when she had Starlight 101, because who the fuck cares? She can pop her head if not. But I think
and,
she figured...
And the way she said it too is... It could have been taken, yeah, as a joke. If it all... She worded the question in a way that Starlight would react in a way she would gain knowledge from.
Agreed.
Okay. And I'm okay with that.
If you know the cat's out of the bag, I respect her political savvy of instead rolling with the punches instead of trying to lie, cover up. She's like, all right, they know, time to play that hand and decide what's next. And what's next? She tries to make a deal with Starlight. You know, I'm all you have left. Let's join up. We can make an actual difference. All she asked for is let me use your platform, like 150 million followers. We can make actual political change and the world can become a better place for daughters everywhere. And Starlight's just done.
Was it just me or was Newman kind of making a little bit of sense there?
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. I was almost on. If Starlight had agreed to working with Newman, I wouldn't have been upset, but I'm also not upset by the outcome of her turning down Newman and trying to do things her own way. Both ways would have worked, but I really thought Newman had killed her piece as the pitch to work together, and that I really thought Starlight was going to take the bait.
That would have been like the worst, like the best quote unquote bribe she's done at Vought. Like she was literally going to help get the education reform bill passed just by using her numbers. But, you know, Starlight was sick of it. She was done with all the backdoor, like shaking hands. And she blew up and was like, dude, I'm sick of this shit. And I don't care if Homelander kills me at this point. At least I know I'm not working with a psychopath. So either pop my head or just fucking get the fuck out. I'm done.
Amazing. Annie is like such a badass. It's unbelievable. And I mean, Newman pretty much handed her the idea, like use your platform to do something. You know what I mean? Like you have 150 million followers or whatever it is. So here you go.
Teeter up. Are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? Annie, are you okay?
I must say, Newman makes the most intimidating exit she possibly can. She gets real close and it's just like, it would be really hard to take out America's sweetheart, but not impossible. And as she walks out the door, Annie's nose starts to bleed. I'm like, ooh, this Newman is a bad woman.
Because when she said it would be hard to take out Starlight, she just meant it from the perspective of we can't just make Starlight disappear.
Yeah,
it's the fallout. Yeah.
The people would erupt.
I didn't expect the nosebleed. That was a fantastic touch to add emphasis to the power that Newman holds. I loved it. They didn't need to do it. They did it. And I was a sucker for it.
So this next scene is MM and Annie or Starlight showing up to the party, right?
Already covered the car ride.
Right. Yeah. So the penis guy is from season two when they're in the hospital with Lamplighter, right?
Call him by his name. Love Sausage.
Okay.
Love Sausage. I love this name.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that off the top of my head, but I just like that they brought that back because it touched MM in there as well, right? Or was that Frenchie? Well,
it was huge because Love Sausage Dude was playing the Russian music that sets Soldier Boy off like later on when he's talking to TNT. So you think he's just coming back to swing his giant dick around. But it's actually to trigger our boy into killing all these innocent people.
A major story driver, this Love Sausage, is presence at Herogasm.
This is obviously the second time where I had to not look at the screen, but kind of look at the screen at the same time. I was so disturbed.
I loved it. It looked like just, a snake, an animal, just inspecting you. And like, why was it going around? And like
mind of its own, dude.
It was like the thing from I was getting vibes from Star Wars when that robot like peeps its eye out of the hole and is like looking.
Oh my god.
The peen had seen MM before, but the man had not.
Yes, he even said, You look familiar. Yeah. He was like, you're about to get real familiar with my hands if you don't get this Love Sausage out of my
jerk
face.
You off.
Dude. That line, when MM said it, reminded me so much of Gazer. Couldn't tell you why. It had the same bravado and kind of the same cadence. I was like, that's a great comparison for Gazer.
Anthony, if you're out there, we love you.
Anyway, Starlight makes like a ridiculous eating pussy joke. Honestly, she's like, "Oh, MM, he's not a soup, but he can eat it with the best of us.
He's great at kind of language. He just eats that vagina right up.
Oh my god, so funny,
so good.
And then they walk in, and MM gives us the laydown. He's like, once a year, a bunch of C-listers get together to get their jollies out, and Starlight's like, looks around. She's like, huh, herogasm. I get it.
Yeah.
Makes sense to her. I mean, so much to break down. My personal favorites were the telepathy guy who was performing cunnilingus to like five different people. Oh, yeah.
That was easily the best one.
Yeah. And then, of course, when we see Termite again from episode one, who was inside something, blows up to full size and just goes, sup, man. Gives MM like a little soldier or solder.
Shoulder
is how you say that word. We all know the scene. And that, we all know I can't talk.
Triggers him, man. This is my favorite fucking jacket.
I was already laughing so hard because instantly I knew that MM's germophobia was kicking in. So I was already cracking up. Little did I know what would happen in the following 2 minutes of the scene.
I know.
If you want to take it away.
How about the perfect line? MM says, you know, Frenchie's going to be upset. He's always wanted to see this.
That him and Butcher both said it in their scenes was, you know, Frenchie wants it bad.
And they know their boy. And when they think of this, they think of their boy. So I, without a doubt, I told Emily that like, that was one of my favorite little touches that they both referenced how badly Frenchie's going to be. And I hope they do it again. I hope next episode when they see Frenchie, he's like, you guys want the herogasm without me?
That's going to be scene number one.
Yeah.
When the boys see each other again, they're going to tell them herogasm was 10 out of 10.
So MM, he's like, I need a bathroom. I need to get this, whatever this is, whatever term I put in my jacket, opens up the door. And it wasn't a bathroom. It was something else. It was
a huge load.
I don't know what it was. I don't know if it
was. Not talking laundry, though.
Love sausage or what, but something hits them. And then all you hear is, oh, lick it up, you yummy brown bear. And I was like, oh, poor MM.
I had to pause the scene. My mouth was on the floor for about 10 minutes. I just couldn't believe what I had just watched. I don't know why I didn't. I should have expected this from the boys, but I just didn't. Yeah. And then I was knocked out. I couldn't believe it.
We saw an Iceman.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. In the background, we get a little info. MM's like, you know, it's fucked up. All these sex workers are like coming here and they're not enjoying it, but like, what are they going to do? And we see a fucking an Iceman, Sub-Zero type guy make a nice icicle dildo. And we saw Starlight's dildo flying around. Somebody was using that either telepathy or invisible. That was hysterical.
Yeah,
I don't think I knew that was Starlight's. That's hilarious.
Yeah,
I just figured it was a flying dildo that somebody was controlling.
And she was watching it. She was like, oh, I get it.
And while we're here and mention Termite, I love that Homelander stomped them. He's squished to death. That's the best.
Great ending for him.
Because fuck him.
So pretty much everyone is at Herogasm now. The next scene is Huey, Butcher, and Soldier Boy rolling up and just doing recon outside. They have the binoculars looking into the house. Great line. Soldier Boy said him and Liberty founded Herogasm in 1952. Stormfront. Oh my gosh. Amazing.
Oh my God.
Your head.
I totally forgot about she was Liberty.
Liberty before Stormfront.
Yep. So Liberty and Soldier Boy founded Herogasm, which if Homelander finds out that Soldier Boy was a love interest of Stormfront.
Oh my God.
Who even knows if they had to hate each other even more? Why not?
I literally wrote down the line where he goes, Liberty. Man. What a firecracker. Like such an old like 60s way to refer to a dame.
Anyway, Huey, they're looking at the binoculars, lots of bystanders. Huey's like, yo, let me scope out the scene. I'm going to try and pinpoint the twins, the TNT twins. We'll just go in there. You'll take them out quick. Nobody else has to get hurt. Soldier Boy gives him 3 minutes. So Huey has the perfect power for this. He teleports to the front door naked, of course. Teleports right into the kitchen naked, in fact. But that's what he does now.
It's the first time it's actually fit the scene. Yeah, it's the first time he actually didn't need clothes.
He was getting eyed up real well too. But then we actually get the Blue Hawk and Starlight, right? Like in the kitchen. Starlight's trying to tell Blue Hawk to get everybody out of here. Blue Hawk's like, don't worry about everything. Homelander's going to handle it. I'm going to go find a Salvatos.
And Starlight walks out of the room. This is where we see Huey teleports right into the room and he finds a kimono. Next scene in Herogasm, we see Starlight walking in on the Deep, who has found himself someone to play with, and that person is indeed an octopus. And Starlight just whips out her phone real quick. This is gonna come in handy sometime soon. And Deep's like, oh, it's not what it looks like. This octopus is sick. And yeah, the Deep actually comes clean about Homelander. He's like, whoa, this is why I'm actually here. It's not for Herogasm, it's because Homelander sent me here.
So this was my biggest quote unquote flaw, because it might not even be a flaw, but I was thinking, if Homelander and Starlight got done the show at the same time, how did Starlight beat Homelander here, even though Deep must have gotten there, unless Deep didn't tell him?
He didn't call him, because I'm pretty sure at this point he hadn't seen the twins yet.
He's just trying to get his rocks off.
Deep showed up and was like, oh. Deep went right up to the twins.
The twins opened the door.
Yeah, the twins opened the door. He was just like, Herogasm.
Yeah, I'm sure he just didn't. Some
pleasure before
he didn't call right away because of that.
Okay, yeah. So he must have called Homelander like literally right then or right before, because that was the only thing that was bothering me, because Starlight could get there way slower than Homelander, but whatever. Small detail in a great episode.
Deep goes to Herogasm and fucks an octopus. Just take a swim, buddy. You don't need to do some other fun shit at Herogasm. You don't need to go to a Herogasm to fuck a sea creature. Just take a dive in the ocean.
True, very true.
Unless the octopus was put there as a consenting Herogasm person.
Guess he
was involved. Yeah.
That's funny.
Next scene is great, because Huey obviously bumps right into A-Train. These two can't stop crossing paths in the most like awkward ways. And this was the most genuine A-Train has been in the whole series. And it's because of the conversation he just had with Ashley, and he apologizes. And I believe him. I mean, he's still like such a prick.
I was so pissed at Huey, to be honest. I was like, bad Huey, bad Huey.
What, for punching him?
Yeah, because I mean, sure, A-Train's a dick at the end of the day. We all know that. But his apology was coming from a genuine place. And I get that would probably rile Huey up, because one, he wasn't expecting it. And two, he's hated this guy for so long. He didn't actually expect an apology from him in this moment. I still hated that he punched him.
My worry was actually that he gave up, that he's juiced up now. Everyone, like A-Train knew. By the end, it doesn't even matter anymore, because Homelander now knows that Billy is a soup and he's going to figure out how. Right. But a lot of people don't know what V24 is. So like, I thought he kind of gave up a little bit by punching, because A-Train was like, how the fuck did you do that? I thought he like really gave it up and he was going to, I mean, Maeve's already in the doghouse, but like cause trouble where it was supposed to kind of be like a sneaky thing that they had these V24 powers, you know?
Yeah.
Too. Right.
I kind of liked that he punched him, because when he saw A-Train, he was expecting a scrap. He was not expecting a genuine apology. Mm-hmm. So when he got the apology, I think mentally he accepted it. He was like, damn, that's exactly what I've needed all this time, is for him to say that. And he seemed to finally get it. I still need to punch him.
But he reacted the way
he owed him a shot. He owed him a shot.
He reacted the way he was expecting to react.
Yeah, you spend all that time like building up the courage. You finally do it, and he says something you're not expecting. He's like, stop making sense, and then just swings. But I think the best line was right before that. Somebody walks up to him and whispers in his ear, and Huey goes, oh, man, that's so sweet, but I just got to give my ass a little breather, you know? And the guy just like nods understandingly. He's like, dude, I get it, and walks away.
Marathon day.
So Starlight walks in on A-Train and Huey having their conversation, goes right in and says, A-Train, not that you deserve it, but get out of here. You don't need a reason why. Pulls Huey aside and says, Homelander's coming. We got to get all these people out of here. And Huey's like, nah, I got it under control. Soulja Boy's here too. When he finds out Homelander's coming, he immediately teleports Starlight out of that situation. He's like, hey, I have this power to teleport you out. I cannot risk losing you. I'm going to protect you and get you to safety here. And they kind of have a little bit of a heart to heart where Huey finally says out loud, yeah, it bothers me that you have to repeatedly save me and save me and save me. It's emasculating. And Starlight's kind of like, well, remember where you explicitly told me on our first date where we kind of fell in love that you didn't care about that? Kind of word for word. He's like, yeah, but come on.
I don't know whose side I'm on here. I really...
Starlight's, yeah.
Yeah. Huey's trying his best. I get that. But yeah, I guess if I had the pick, it would be Starlight. Huey should have just accepted the fact that this comes with the biz. She's a superhero. She's going to be out risking her life. And I don't know.
Everything Huey's trying to do, though, is to get her away from Homelander. So, like, he's saying that, and I don't know if his actions justify it because he's saying he's doing it to save Starlight, but actively doing the opposite of what she wants him to do. So I don't know if you can justify his actions that way, but I completely understand that I need to get you away from Homelander. So I'm going to do whatever I can. The enemy of the enemy is my friend.
I'm just going to say we had this exact conversation last episode. Like whoever, one of you said it almost word for word of the dialogue. Because I had edited that piece of the podcast last episode. And when they were talking, I was like, someone had an advanced script.
What I said earlier, where I needed to give Brian props, dude, you literally pulled up the one plot point of why Huey's character doesn't make sense and inconsistent from season one. But never mind, you know, this random episode or this random scene in Herogasm really just confirms the inner turmoil that Huey is facing with now.
Yeah. While we're jerking each other off in the Mallory flashback, you were just like, was one of the TNT twins helping the other up? And I'm just like, I don't think the TNT twins matter for shit anymore. And sure enough, they gave us the best episode of The Boys we've seen thus far. So
they were they were a play on the Wonder Twins. I was getting those like Wonder Twin powers activate form of
100%.
The powers are so lame. Especially displayed in that propaganda video we were talking about earlier. So I was immediately like, these are the Wonder Twins. Absolutely.
So we get the TNT twins arguing a little bit about toilet cams and some little detail about putting toilet cams in without consent, whatever.
Would any of you volunteer to be that butthole that was on that screen?
That was my next line. I swear to God, that is my next line. Because I was gonna say, I couldn't imagine being an extra in any one of the extras in this entire few scenes. But imagine being that guy and walking out to people and being like, "Hey, have you seen The Boys? That's cool. You've seen my dick, balls, and butt, by the way. Just letting you know." Like
that was the first thing that came to my mind. I didn't think they were going to actually show anything on the screen. And then there was an actual person.
Season two, Seth Rogen went on to say they shot that real porno scene in season two. That was an actual porno. Sex was being had. So I can't imagine what was actually going on in the backgrounds of these scenes.
Wow. If it was actually real, an actual orgy. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, so this is where MM sees Soulja Boy come in and he tries the gas, which he thinks is going to work because of what he saw in the Russian experiment video. And Soulja Boy picks up this gas grenade, inhales it like a cig and says, what is it? Fentanyl? No, it wasn't fentanyl. Halothane. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you planning to do with that? And MM's like, all right. Grenade didn't work, whatever. I'm going to go down swinging. And he squares up, but he says, you killed my family. Soulja Boy says, which one? No sweat off his back. It's just another collateral damage.
Yeah. So before anything could happen, MM being a boss, but Butcher wouldn't let anything happen to him because he goes, oi, you know, the twins are in there, not that one. So MM and Butcher finally getting this like confrontation. He's like, dude, like, you're such a hypocrite. Like, you get to destroy Homelander, but I don't get Soldier Boy. Like, how does that make any sense?
It's literally stupid. I'm like fully against MM in this. This is not a noble cause. You have a daughter. Like, do you really want now your daughter to grow up without a dad and whatever? Because like, he's just fucking squaring up with Soldier Boy, someone who took out a city block with his belly. Get out of here. You're literally just like on a suicide mission, and that's annoying. I get it. But like, he's like, you get home later. Yeah, buddy. I am absolutely jacked up on V, and I could actually like fight somebody. You can't. Like, what? Anyone say you want to agree or disagree with me?
I don't know. I was with you. When he put his fist ups, I literally scoffed. I was like,
you're an idiot.
I like exactly what you were saying, Kathleen. I was just having pictures of his daughter just growing up in the same exact fashion that he was about to go out in this blaze of glory that he thought was going to be so noble. But it did kill me to see Butcher come in, and even just like the nod, and then even before them actually fighting, them just looking at each other, I was not prepared for what was about to come. I could just see the pain in Butcher's eyes because he knew what he was doing was fucked up. And then you could see the pain in MM's eyes, seeing the goal right in front of him and not being able to do anything. So,
and he does get to get frustration out because he whips out the baseball bat and just beats the crap out of Butcher, who can't feel anything because he's souped up. And that's just story of his life. You know, he deals with these soups and he can't really do anything about it. And this is his culminating moment where he wanted to take out Soldier Boy, and he just once again cannot do anything. But Butcher's in a place where he can.
Steve Garvey's bet. Number 6 on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Played first base. Cool little fun fact. To jump back to what you're saying about MM, his whole dialogue in the car with Starlight is like, dude, I need to get this guy out of my head because I can't like think straight. And I think that's the only thing, like, is literally taking his life over. I'm totally on your like side here. He's doing the wrong thing, but like, he's obviously not thinking clearly. If he's trying to fist fight a soup.
True. I agree with that.
So Soldier Boy walks away from the situation and he stumbles upon the TNT twins. And this is where he sees them oogling over the butthole cam. And he says something to the effect of, oh, that tunnel's awfully backed up or something like that. Paul, do you have the line? It was something about the Lincoln Tunnel was in there too, I believe.
Yeah, that's more beat up than the Lincoln Tunnel, but
there it is.
Worse. Something crazy. And their reaction was classic, because what are you gonna do? Like, you just see somebody that you sent to your death come back. Obviously they're freaking out. I'll do anything. He's like, all right, maybe I'll let you live. You tell me what exactly happened. And immediately they blurt out Noir. So this brings up the question, were they actually telling the truth? Because they did say that pretty quickly. It was all Noir's idea. Or were they just, you know, picking the one person they knew that was still alive?
Dude, I think it's coming back to Edgar. We saw Noir and Edgar having that conversation prior to Soldier Boy getting taken. I think they have a history together, quote unquote, if you want to call it that. Maybe spent a few years together before that war. And I think it's just going to come all back to Edgar. Like, Noir is going to just sell out Edgar.
Another evidence of Noir and Edgar being close is season 2, when Noir gets sent on the mission to track. They're visiting Butcher's aunt. Mm-hmm. And then when the house blows up and Noir is about to kill Butcher, Edgar comes on the screen like in his mask.
On the
phone. True.
I feel like that's true. I forgot. A close relationship between the two.
That's a subtle fact that I think is going to end up being a big one for their relationship going forward.
You are making my head so big about this theory, Dave, and I love like, it. Where's this kind of energy been for the first 5 episodes?
Fuck off.
And I got some of them right. Paul knows it.
I laid the seeds. You just watered it. And we're going to take it. We're going to ride this train until the wheels fall off, baby.
So Soldier Boy walks in on the TNT twins. Love Sausage is making some love, but he's also listening to some music, some cultural music. It's Russian music. And that sends Soldier Boy over the edge. I guess Russian language is his trigger, we can assume at this point. And it takes him back to the experiments. And he has the same blackout that he did when he blew up Midtown, except this time he's aiming at the TNT twins and the rest of Hero Gasm.
Completely vaporizes them. off yeah, the planet.
The house is just left in shambles. It shows exactly what happens to Butcher. Did we have any quarrels with that? How it just knocked him away rather than like beamed him?
No.
Maybe his body was just super durable, and rather than just getting beamed, he just
would have died too.
That's, I thought MM was legitimately supposed to, I thought he was going to die.
I thought when, he was below the beam because he, I don't know. Yeah. I'm glad he didn't die. That was,
I'm
wasn't
glad he didn't die, but yeah. I think in that scene they could have killed him, and especially when Butcher checks his pulse, I was expecting it to be gone, to be honest. I don't know how he survived it, but
that would have been a huge development opportunity for Butcher as a character to see MM die while he's souped up and survives the same blast.
Yeah.
But before the explosion, we get A-Train's revenge on Blue Hawk, right? He runs
that's,
him out.
No, that's
nah,
after.
Because Blue
that's
Hawk's after. Running out of the explosion. But we can just nail
okay.
that right
okay,
now.
Okay.
Blue Hawk is butt-ass naked running out of the explosion. And
Love
A-Train,
Sausage has his burnt penis in hands.
Yeah, it's chaos. Totally torched. Sex workers yeah. are just sprinting out of the flames here. Mm-hmm. But A-Train confronts Blue Hawk. He's like, nah, we're going to do this right now. Like, how are you going to answer to these people? And what does Blue Hawk even say? Or does A-Train just cut him off? And
I don't even think he has a chance to respond.
He says, well, we're going to do this right now. Well, there's a crazy man in there. And A-Train just grabs him by the throat and is like you hurt my brother. Like, you're going to pay for it right now. Throws him face down into the pavement, bounces up, and then he just grabs his leg, takes
just
off.
Runs.
Runs a quick 8 miles.
It is an awesome death. And
really?
Awesome
well deserved.
Death.
I was rooting the whole way for it. I loved it.
Yep, me too. Fuck Blue Hawk. And yeah. That was incredible. Do we think A-Train's alive?
Yeah, now is this the end of the A-Train chapter? And I'm gonna go with no. I'm gonna go with no.
I'm gonna go with he's alive, but I think he's like done with like the seven. And being like a superhero and stuff like that. I feel like he might be like bedridden from now on out. Like he can't even walk without getting his heart like acting up.
But do you think he would come back as a character even in that state? Or do you think it would be kind of like Stormfront where they would just be?
Yeah, I feel like they could kill him off like immediately, but I don't think he's dead in this moment. I think he's just going to be like a recurring, or he might come back up as somebody completely out of the game.
It's 50-50.
I think what's the point of bringing him back like that? This would be the perfect death for him. I hope he's dead for the sake of the story. I think they could use A-Train in a lot of great ways going forward, but I hope he's dead, and I think he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
For the
I would
sake
agree
of
with
the
that
death pool that I said he was dead in, I wish he's dead. Only for props.
it was so random that him and Huey met at Herogasm in the stars aligned where A-Train was in the right state of mind to give him a genuine apology. That is closing the book of his character arc for me.
Absolutely.
I think that's all he needed to do left in the story. And I'm satisfied if he is dead.
So with the explosion going off, we also get Starlight and Huey. They're getting clothes back on. This is like the already second or third alpha change for Huey because he keeps jumping out of his clothes. And Huey's trying to tell her to not go back. And, you know, Starlight finally fucking unleashes, man. She actually punches Huey like full Starlight mode and sends him flying. So that was kind of cool to see. It's like,
I was laughing at Huey's reaction. He was like shocked and in pain. He was like, ow, like you did that to me. You just did that to me.
You know, it's nice to see Starlight fight a little bit because we barely get to see her fight. I mean, Girls Get It Done scene last season was obviously amazing with her, Maeve, and Kimiko, but we rarely get to actually see her use her powers and like be a badass and beat people up. So that even like, it was just even that much sweeter that she was like, get out of my face. And just like so easily, even though he's a soup, just be like, whoosh, bye.
So, we, like Dave said, Love Sausage. He's pulling his burnt wang and putting it around his neck like a scarf. We get the Deep running out with his octopus.
And a plastic bag.
In a plastic bag, telling him to like shut up.
He's, I don't want to hear it right now. Yeah. I don't want to hear it. He gets into a Hummer too, which is like the best part.
That is the funniest thing. I love that.
Yeah, the Deep drives a Hummer, the most environmentally damaging car like ever. So that's incredible. But then we get the shit. This is when the shit starts to hit the fan. Butcher gets up. You know, he checks that MM is still alive. He's fine. You know, he's smiling. He feels the pulse. Soldier Boy walks up. And he's like, hey, are we all good? And Soldier Boy is like, dude, what happened? Like, I have no idea. I just blacked out again. And this is where the fucking goosebumps hit. It's these two standing next to each other and across the hall. Who comes around the corner but Homelander? We already had his intro where he comes in, stomps on Termite. That was great. But now he's turning the corner and he puts it all together. He goes, William Butcher and Soldier Boy. It all makes sense. You are behind this. This whole thing really is all about me.
And this answers a debate we had earlier in the season, which was Homelander really in the room when him and Butcher had that meeting in episode two, maybe one?
That was the end of one, yeah.
Yeah, when they're in, but Butcher's debating whether to take the V24, and he keeps looking at the cookie jar of his dog and like whatever. But we were like, was he there? Because it's kind of a weird scene for them to have, like him actually there, but he was there, which is interesting.
I knew it.
I actually loved it because that was the scorched earth line they actually talked about in that end scene. You know, he says, you know, no rules, let's just go whole scorched earth. So that's about to come up. But when they talk about the Homelander first brings up, you know, we had a deal, you know, it was me and you, a war, and this is cheating. So deal's off, lasers them. Doesn't laser him in half, though. He just sends him flying back a little bit. If Soldier Boy wasn't there, I'm sure Homelander would have been like, why are you still in one piece? That's weird.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen like that.
It was great that they made fun of the cape. I loved that. Soldier Boy was like, brother, you're wearing a cape.
Fuck
it's
capes.
Not cool,
we're not,
you fucking weirdo.
we're not team cape here. I was the only word to describe me in this scene was just pure giddiness. I was literally a child, just like, slapping my legs, just like feet were just moving nonstop. I was eating this scene up. And yeah, Paul, continue on, because when Butcher takes that laser beam and Homelander's just like, what the fuck?
So we get the line you already saying, buddy, you think you look strong? You're wearing a cape. You're just a cheap fucking knockoff. Mm-hmm. Homelander, no. I'm the upgrade. And cue the fucking fighting. They immediately flies in and clashes. You know, this is what we asked for. They actually seem to be like neck and neck. There's no clear winner right now. And we actually get Starlight come to save MM because MM's going to jump in the fight. Like he's
with his pistol. Get out of here, dude.
Like he's going to do something. Starlight's like, I need you. You know, other people need you right now. Come on, let's go help them. So I was like, good. Get off the screen. Give me these two fighting. Get me back at it. So eventually Homelander gets Soldier Boy by the neck, puts him up against the wall. He's choking him. He's about to laser him. And all you hear is, oi. And he just looks over. Butcher's still alive. He's visibly confused. And then he hits him with the fucking laser zap and sends him flying. He goes, what the fuck? Like Homelander is just flabbergasted, completely flabbergasted. And he stands up. And now they're facing off, Butcher and Homelander. And Homelander says, what have you done? And this is the line, man. He goes, scorched earth. And they fucking go at it.
I totally don't think it's a coincidence that Butcher has the identical powers of Homelander and that Huey has the teleportation ability of the Stills child. I think that because like when they inject the V, personally, I think it's whatever comes to mind first for them in terms of abilities. And since Homelander is constantly thinking about, or Butcher is constantly thinking about Homelander and wanting to kill him, when he injects the V, he takes on Homelander's ability. And because at the time, the Stills baby was the most recent ability Huey had seen, that's why he took on the teleportation ability. So I just wanted to bring that up in here. That was just something I had been just like, thinking about recently, because I don't think it's a coincidence that he also has laser beams and has like the super strength. It's just a theory I had.
Yeah,
I can buy
it's
that.
Cool to see, but
it's weird because he can't like fly. You know, he only has the laser beams. So,
yeah, but he's super strong. But I guess all of them are.
Could be something there. But
where I was going with that was just pretty much to say that like I hate knowing that the temp V is killing our hero, not our, I can't call them here as our main boys. Squad. Yeah, our boys here. But I'm literally completely oblivious to it in this moment just because of how fucking badass the scene is. And I want them to stay souped up, obviously. But yeah. I know that it's the repercussions are going to be huge for this.
It makes me wonder how bad the side effects are after you first use it, because we haven't seen Butcher like puking recently. The farther away he gets from his first time using it,
yeah. Maybe they're seen just a lot of nosebleeds.
It. No, I was getting that too, Brian. You get like really sick from it once, and then after you use it, your body doesn't have the same exact after day effect.
But wasn't Huey like kind of having nosebleeds or something? Like, wasn't there?
That's
some
true. He
medical?
Was. He was putting his finger in his ear, and there was like a silvery goo, and he was like, "What the hell is that?" And this was back in the when Butcher and Soldier Boy's just getting his goods from Butcher. So yeah, that's a good point. There does seem to be a bunch of after effects because it's not fully tested, like they were saying.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't fully tested, so I'm just curious to see that, but. This scene, you know, we get Girls Get It Done season two, and now we get The Boys Get It Done season three. And this is a wailing that I was all in for every bit of the way.
Well, so when Butcher's still going, right?
When Butcher joins the scrap, Soldier Boy is kind of down, and there's this awesome shot where they lock laser beams, and that's just iconic because Homelander's like risen up. It's just perfect.
Before that, when Butcher's doing his evil bloody smile, like blood. Looking like a maniac when they're fist fighting. And what's one thing I wanted to talk about the fist fighting, Homelander is obviously way stronger than a lot of Securin soups, even in the seven right now. So V24 has got to be super, super potent human strength, because we've seen all these V24 of what we've seen of V24, they can like at least stand toe to toe with the best for a second.
I was going to say, if you just shoot up 10 of these guys, any 10 average Joes could take out Homelander if they have the V24. Like, Homelander can't want a world where everyone's a soup if that means he's not far and away the strongest. Like, I feel like his entire ideology breaks down somewhere, and he's going to have to realize that at some point. Either way, after they lock laser beam, Soldier Boy gets back up, pulls down Homelander, just like, messes him up. And when it's 2-on-1, Butcher and Soldier Boy against Homelander, they significantly have the upper hand. I think they have him on the ropes. And if they didn't already, Naked Huey teleports in and is like a really good distraction. The three of them are just handling Homelander. My jaw was on the floor during this.
Were you guys not getting Edna Mode vibes? Edna Mode absolutely. From The Incredibles. No capes.
No cape.
Dude, the cape actually came back to hurt Homelander, because when he was flying doing the laser eye lock with Butcher, and Butcher was screaming, that's when Soldier Boy went up, grabbed the cape, and ripped him down. Phenomenal scene. And then they had the like double punch, like one was swinging his right, one was swinging his left, and they both went for Homelander, but he ducked at the last second. His confusion when Huey comes in and actually sees him teleport, it's just absolutely beautiful. And Anthony Starr is incredible because, like you said, they all get him to the ground and they're saying, you know, all right, Soldier Boy, do it. Huey, get out of here. You know, no, I'm not fucking leaving. I'm going to stand through. Anthony Starr's like growling, his little animalistic like need to survive. The fight or flight response goes in and he takes off. Oh, my God.
First time we've ever seen him run.
I couldn't handle it.
So I think Huey and Butcher definitely both would have died there. Like, were they both willing to risk their lives with him?
Butcher was.
Butcher has nothing left. I think Butcher has set himself up to sacrifice himself, especially with cutting off his wife's kid. And so but when Huey said that, that caught me a little off guard because we knew, but maybe he was just in a bad state of mind because of what he was just talking to about with Annie.
I think it shows that Huey was ready to die there. When Butcher told him to leave, he was 100%. Just like, nah, I'm in. And I think you're right. That just goes to show how far he's willing to go to protect Starlight, because I think that is his motivation here.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Also, when Homelander flies away, you get a nice little aerial shot of the three on the ground. Huey, Jack Quaid has his legs crossed. Son of a bitch. He's protecting the goods.
How can you if you're not going to show your dick in an episode where Love Sausage has already made its appearance, you know, like you just okay. can't. You
That's
can't
true. Do
Coward.
That. Yeah.
But yeah, he ran away and now he's going to be an absolute monster. And like, that was great because he was caught off guard and now he knows. And but first of all, I mean, he could try and cut off all the supply of the V-24. I mean, Maeve's, they only have that amount of V-24 because Maeve is out of town.
I'm already telling you that I'm not going to be on 7. I'll definitely be on 8 because I just need to binge it. I'm sorry, guys, but not having to worry about the responsibility of this podcast and me just having the screeners, me and Alki crushed 5 episodes on one random Sunday when we early got them. So now I'm like, I could be on 7. Yes.
You're selfish.
I know how I'm going to feel at the end of 7, and I'm just going to have to get an 8. So I'm reserving a spot for 8 right now.
You got it. It's yours. Davy Solomon's.
We get Starlight watching Huey Butcher and Soulja Boy walk away
and the
eye contact, and then Huey just turning away and walking. Like, that was like his, you just want to say his last chance, but that was like his third last chance in the 2 episodes to like make it up to Starlight. And
just hate the divide currently in the boys. And I'm curious if they do come back to the boys, where Kimiko and Frenchie will fall. I would assume probably with the Starlight MM camp.
I think they would fall there too. I think because of all the talks they've already had with wanting to move to France, I think taking MM and Starlight's side might just make them get there, you know, in an easier fashion, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
They could go either way, honestly. Because Frenchie's a butcher boy, you know? I mean,
and Kimiko's the only accepting. One that's
been like against Butcher this and is like changing Frenchie a little bit, but
another rift in the squad. I would hate that if Kimiko went with Butcher if Frenchie went with Butcher and then Kimiko went with Starlight, another rift.
Must say, I selfishly do not want them to live happily ever after yet, because I don't want the show without Frenchie and Kimiko. Yeah. I'll take it.
We got a season 4.
Yeah, true. It's already confirmed. Yep.
Anyway, Homelander wriggles free. He's safe and he goes back to the same room that we saw him earlier with the mirror, and he's looking at his reflection, but nothing's there. So it begs the question, which Homelander are we left with after that big ordeal? Is it the good Homelander, the innocent, insecure Homelander, or is it scorched earth, soups over everything, bad Homelander? And I think we're looking at bad Homelander, and I think we're going to see him lash out with his full fury in the last episodes here.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're getting right into 7. I mean, we're not done. There's still one scene obviously left to cover, but I'm saying it now. I'm just going to get right into 7 once this is done.
You were saying good Homelander and bad Homelander. I feel like it should be bad Homelander and worse Homelander.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right.
But the quote unquote good Homelander, I feel like he is just going to relinquish all power. He's like, you're right. I held on to that human side of me and I almost died today. So guess what? Like, we're doing things your way. Like, we are back in the bad room right now that you were talking about earlier, and I need you to protect me.
I don't know why this came to my head, but I also could see it potentially maybe going that quote unquote good Homelander is no longer trusting of bad Homelander because he said that he was always looking out for him, blah, blah, blah. And then in this case, he didn't look out for him. So maybe this is just me again, just trying to counter some arguments and get some talk going, but I see it more. I see it more going the bad route.
Anything else with that? He doesn't even say anything. It's certainly up for interpretation.
Then we get just Starlight going live, right?
Yes, we do. And MM kind of, she asks MM, you know, do a live video, and he's like, "You sure about this?" And go ahead.
I just wanted to say, Starlight really was reminding me of Mercy from Overwatch. This scene.
Oh my God, you know I'm always okay with you giving the me blonde an Overwatch girl. Reference on the pod.
She was bandaging up some people, and give me a nice Mercy quote.
Heroes never die. Except a lot of heroes died this episode. So
so it doesn't make sense.
They could have used a Mercy. But anyway, go ahead. Starlight and MM are still at the HeroGasm wreckage with first responders, people in body bags, and Starlight's like, yeah, fuck it. Let's do this live video. Homelander's going to regret making me America's sweetheart. And she goes on Instagram Live and tells America the deal. She's like, I'm in Vermont, 12 soups and humans are dead, and Soldier Boy is the one that did it. Vault's going to lie to you and say they have him under wraps. They don't. He's out here exploding everyone. Most soups don't care about you or America. They're not the heroes they're portrayed to be. Most of them do not care about their hero work. And I'm sorry I haven't started telling you guys the truth sooner, but I'm going to continue to do so from here on out. And one more thing, my name isn't Starlight. It's Annie January, and I fucking quit.
Epic.
Love the speech. That's my girl, baby.
Good for her. She's finally getting Annie out of there.
January.
She also, as she was going on, the little Instagram Live effects everywhere were great. But the one comment that kept getting over and over again was hashtag Vought lied, people died. So I don't know if like that's going to come back and like the people are actually going to like use that as their mantra to take down Vought. But it seems like the general public, this is it. So what's going to happen? We've talked about this forever. Like how are people going to act when they learn the truth?
This is totally not out of the normal for the boys, leaving us on a cliffhanger as always. I feel like sixes are always so devastating just because we're getting to the back three, and especially with the boys, they have to make a mic drop every episode.
Yeah, it was fucking great. I'm scared for Starlight, but I also think that like she's speaking for us. Like we know all the shit that's been happening, and it's so easy to be like, just tell somebody, just like go on Instagram Live and tell somebody. But
I think
she's pretty much dead.
I'm also thinking to what's MM's ex-wife's name?
Monique.
And then the boyfriend.
Todd.
I just wonder where this, I feel like this has got to be a faction eventually of diehard Homelander fans. And I wonder when that's going to start coming out with now this being released, that Starlight sees Homelander as a villain. And to announce that to her fans, how is this faction of people going to react? And I wonder if they're still going to, I assume they're probably still going to side with him. I could see it being.
It's going to bring out Homelander supporters versus fuck people.
Yeah.
It's nuts. I mean, Starlight can't just get assassinated immediately, right? Because then people are going to know. And then that's going to look even worse for Bot. So I feel like it's a really risky move, but she actually, you know, bought herself a little bit of time. She can't just disappear right after that.
Two episodes left.
That is the end of episode six.
I'm gonna freak out.
Does anybody not think this was the best episode of The Boys yet?
This has been the best episode, and this has been the best season so far. It's The Boys season, it just gets better and better with each season.
No arguments, honestly. Does anybody have any last opinions? Facts, yes, concerns, questions,
Queen Maeve
theories?
Is alive. It's a pretty easy one to guess, but I'm just going to put it on the board. Queen Maeve's alive.
I hope she's dead because I only care about the death pool.
Yeah, Roger. Roger the cameraman.
Who has Maeve? Who has Maeve?
I have Maeve, yeah.
I think that's a good one.
I have Edgar, and I have Newman. So I honestly don't hope all three of them die because that would suck for the show.
Only one of Newman and Edgar are going to make it out of here. And I could see it. I don't know who I could see it being, but I only think one of them would make it out of here.
We thought Newman was going to wrap up her season this season and be done, because Edgar is timeless and classic. I think he could go on for seasons on. He holds all the knowledge of everything. But Newman
That's
is
true.
Kind of, although I love her to death and I love that actress. I think she's incredible. But I think that I could see her getting wrapped up because there's a lot of big players right now. So it all depends on what the big bad and biggest issue is going to be in season four. So.
It was great to see Newman this episode because we haven't for a while. And she was only in that one scene, and it was a huge scene. Had me on the edge of my seat. But yeah, this episode, best of the series, possibly so far. Best of the season, probably. We got two episodes left here for The Boys season 3. We hope you guys follow along with us. They're going to be coming out next 2 weeks. As always, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Visit us on BingetownTV.com and subscribe to our show on Spotify, YouTube, the Apple Podcast app, or wherever else you may find your podcast. Once again, we are Bingetown TV. And thanks for listening.
Love y'all.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.